The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is BI, which is Business Intelligence plus Search, the ultimate crystal ball. Our guests for today's show are Joe Held, who is the Senior Vice President and CIO with Standards & Poor's. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Doing very well, just a little wet and cold, snowing here in New York.
Welcome to the club. I'm in Chicago. So great having you. And we also have Don Campbell, who's the CTO for Analytics and Performance Management with IBM. Good morning, Don.
Morning, Sanjog.
Yeah, so can you say that you are looking at green pastures or you still have more snow?
We have snow. We always have snow until sometime around July or August, it seems. But it hasn't been too bad a winter, so we're not complaining.
Great. So while we could not get the best weather in February, but then we can definitely look at possible ways we can make BI a very, very useful tool or technology that could bring us great results. Now, the reason we picked up this topic is because there's something of a Star Trek type of technology which has been proposed, which says that how about we take the search results that we get through multiple search engines, which is searching through documents, unstructured data, and we can possibly index it and analyze it and deliver it in the same way or even better, in better ways, along with the other structured data that might exist in the enterprise. So how close are we to realizing the Star Trek team? Joe.
Well, you know, here at S&P, we've made some inroads with this, but I still think it's at the early stages. Part of this is because it's still not quite out of the box. Currently, we combine smart search capabilities. These are intelligent agents that are combined with our internal data sources, and they provide alerts to our analysts and to our other quantitative groups. And they take a look at this for SEC filings, various credit market activity, and so on. So we're combining these proprietary search algorithms and these commercial products. And these algorithms, they employ artificial intelligence such as fuzzy logic, pattern matching, machine learning, to bring these relevant alerts to our analysts. So, you know, we're beginning to span structured and unstructured content. But I think we're just scratching the surface. But it's an exciting area, very exciting area, because we're able to bring these alerts. For example, for an SEC filing for credit activity to an analyst desktop within minutes, which would have previously taken quite a bit longer than that.
Now, there's something that triggered this because, of course, your problem, so whatever that you were trying to solve was existing even earlier. That's the assumption. But now, does it look like that you have the technology under control for you to even give it a shot?
In the formative stages, I think so. But I think, you know, there's a holy grail to this, dealing with federated search worldwide. You know, for those of in your audience who don't know a lot about S&P, we are we're in 24 countries. We have 11,000 employees, and we deliver financial market intelligence. This is everything from quantitative analytics products to company fundamental information, index information, ratings, et cetera. We supply that information to the financial marketplace in the financial centers worldwide. And the expanse of content that's required to stay ahead of the markets is just vast. It's locked up in both proprietary and public databases. Over time, you know, I think we're going to get a lot more sophisticated in our delivery of this intelligence, which is a combination of both search and BI and other things. I think we're going to get much more sophisticated with it, but really I think we're just kind of opening it up right now. I think we still have, still have a ways to go.
Now, Don, on Star Trek, we used to see that flip device, which used to allow to say, beam me up, Scotty, and he used to get beamed up. Yes, we have not understood the, or we've not figured out the beaming part, but then we have figured out the cell phone technology, which is kind of getting the idea from there. So how, in your view, are we close to this in your world? Because you are from the, in a way, representing vendor community, and in some cases, you could also be adopting it.
Right, and you know, we come from very much the structured side of things, and there's great value even in search from a structured perspective. You still need to understand the models of the business, and looking for information even in a structured way can be very complex. One thing that's advanced a lot in the last several years is really the user expectation for search. You look at information retrieval in general, and how we used to be really just floundering out there trying to remember names of reports that might have the information in it that we're looking for. And now with search engines aplenty and the way that we use them more in our casual lives, looking for information in a business context, we certainly have an expectation that if I type a certain search string into a text box, I'm going to get back something that at least has some relevant content. Going one step beyond that, I don't really want to see a bunch of links coming back that will allow me to jump in and maybe find the answer. I really want to get to the answer. And so being able to present that end answer just from a search query, I think, is kind of where we are in an adoption phase right now. We're trying to get that deeper into organizations, but there's still a lot of place to go, a lot of value that is still yet to be realized, I think, by the technology.
So when you look across the horizon and talk to multiple adopters at the enterprise level, what are typical, if you were to inventory the trigger points, which would require them to, or at least which will prompt them to invest in this area so that it furthers the research, it furthers the adoption, and then, of course, as we come to the real need, or we define the real needs, which would be providing value to the organizations, that is what is going to allow proliferation of this technology and more people investing in it becoming mainstream. So what do you see there?
From our client perspective, they're certainly looking at this kind of technology as a way to get access to more people in the organization. If they can take the vast amounts of content and information that they store on a daily basis and somehow enable some decision-making to be made for more than just a power user, then that's a big win for them. And, of course, on the negative side, the concern side, is around things like security. So if I'm going to make all my corpus of documents available for my enterprise for anybody in the organization to get at, I'd better make sure that there's the right security on top of that. And I don't mean just security of getting at the document. For instance, if I was to go in there and look and do a search string for Don Campbell bonus, and there might be a document in there that has my name and a bonus attached to it, just the fact that I happen to know that there's a document out there, even if I don't have access to that document, maybe I know all that I need to know. So that's a new kind of security that has to be put on top of this infrastructure to make sure that search results coming back are filtered appropriately by those end users.
Now, Joe, what do you think of the kind of security that Don is talking about? Would that stifle the very very adoption of this, because you want to know more and then it's your choice whether to pick something up or not as human being versus having everything being done by a bot?
Yeah, you know, I think the security mechanisms still have, that's an area that still needs a lot of work. You know, we have, when you look at the daisy chaining of search engines, let me take a step back so you can understand maybe the context that I'm reaching for. You know, we have, our customers are very highly sophisticated knowledge workers. They're credit analysts and investment banks. They're investment advisors and brokerages, issuers of debt, insurance company actuaries, and so on. And there was a time when they were asking for a lot of siloed information. And they were very specialized in what asset classes they supported or the types of securities. But now they're all asking for, you know, a comprehensive information about their investments. So, you know, not only do they need to know the credit rating, but they want to know the underlying credit information about the company. They want to see fundamental financial information, stock performance, earnings estimates, corporate actions. They may even want to reach out to the new CEO and see how he presents himself on video, SEC product filings, et cetera. So they need this comprehensive information, and they need it at market speed, very, very fast. So, you know, a lot of this key information was formerly difficult to get hold of because it was wrapped up in a lot of secure data sources worldwide, including wrapped up in government, various government data sources that weren't quite transparent. So I think, you know, we are beginning to get some security standards and some capabilities to deal with the entitlements for both data and function. I think that's improving. But I would say, let's say on the vast financial market, it's still, you know, we still need to really to figure that one out. It's gotten a lot better because there's been such a push for transparency, you know, from the various governments around the world, particularly due to the latest financial crisis. But it's really the entitlement aspect of this and what is can be purchased and what is publicly available. That's still going to shake out for some time.
Now, do we have one common holy grail defined across enterprises and organizations, which then people are pursuing together? Don?
Well, we've certainly seen various descriptions of that. And in some cases, what they're looking for is a way of putting together their structured content, their unstructured content, in a way that makes sense, doesn't require a user to jump into two different systems, learn two different tools, etc. Allow me to bring it all together through a search query and somehow get some value at it. Others are looking to deliver it deeper in the organization, beyond managers, out to sort of employees on the shop room floor, and then others even beyond that, maybe they're consumers of a bank, and the bank wants to make an application available so that their customers can go and get access to information. And so more and more, you know, pushing out of that data and the search-related business intelligence tends to be a way for them to get at that as well, too. Sort of another holy grail value is really just in the speed of access of information. Statistics will show that we spend more time searching for information than we actually do analyzing that information. So it's really just a cost savings on an enterprise's part in trying to make information just more at the fingertips of its consumers. And so I think there's various goals for various businesses, and I think there's different ways you can apply the technology.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and try to understand what is the challenge that we would face. Is it the fact that the technology is not fully cooked yet? Or even if we get a technology, the integration that it would require to bring the unstructured documentation sitting in document management systems, et cetera, and connect them to enterprise systems? Or is it going to be the very analysis or that AI, artificial intelligence portion, which is going to be making people scratch their heads that now I've got a ton of this information bundled together, what do I do with it? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and explore.
We'll be right back. up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Wasting time. Get what you want. Live your dream life. The Dream Big Revolution. Imagine having more freedom, better health, more money, happiness. Could your business be more successful? Unless you're living the life you want, you're wasting precious time. Your life is too valuable to waste. Let Leanne Hilgers help you find health, wealth, and happiness. Listen in and live your dream life. Join the Dream Big Revolution. Tune in every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So, Joe, let's start with you. Looking at we putting together all these different technologies, basically trying to pick up this new technology. But then, where is the true challenge that you see in getting this adopted and making it mainstream? Since we are just sandboxing it right now, but then in order to bring it into an enterprise, make it usable, and get it adopted. What's that journey looking like?
Well, the overall challenge is getting all this relevant content indexed. You need to span multimedia, structured and unstructured content, and then you have to deal with this daisy chain of search engines, many of them which aren't in the house. So, what I would not recommend is to sell the big, huge re-engineering project. This is something you really have to build competencies for over a period of time. And what we had done was we took a critical business function, for example, alerts to our analysts, ratings analysts, for changes in credit information in SEC filings. And there was a long time to receiving those alerts. Took quite some time, so we thought if we could put a business case together on shortening the time to market for that one single function, it would also not only have a good business case, but it would not necessarily cost a fortune and exercised our infrastructure and our new application architecture and information architecture to exercise that with all the different complexities of combining outside relevant outside information and unstructured information with our structured internal databases. And we took that single function and drilled that out. And we learned a great deal from that, enough so that we felt we could scale the capability for other needs in the organization. Yeah, I'd be really careful about jumping into the whole big back-end re-engineering effort. Anything like that, we have undertaken for what we call global workflow systems, et cetera, and then we would add this as another feature to that. But we found that to be really quite successful. The application won all kinds of awards for innovation in the company, and so we started showing our business partners what was possible with that one capability. But you also have to be careful not to oversell it, because to do something like that on a massive scale worldwide requires some re-engineering of your back end, and you have to have both an information and application architecture that supports that. And we thought about this some years ago, prior to a lot of the technology becoming commercially viable. And what we had done was we put in place a global federated architecture for our application systems and for our and in support of many of our products. Currently, we have about 30 systems on that architecture, and what it's composed of are a series of what we call SOA hubs. This is middleware wrapped in SOA. They're placed regionally around the world, and they're connected. It's like one big tinker toy. And that allows us to plug and play data sources and analytics on a global scale. If you think about it, it's like one big application cloud, global cloud. And we no longer build these big monolithic databases. There are various challenges with that if you want to get into federated search and plug and play for various information products. What we do is we've been either creating or breaking up our data platforms into subject areas. We've created hubs based on certain security types or company information, and then we connect those. So this is, and then another thing that we're doing is we've implemented a global content management infrastructure that also plugs and plays with that application architecture. So this thing where you're breaking up data into subject areas, you have plug-and-play capability for application functions, all this activity was part of our overall technology strategy. Now, search and BI can actually take advantage of that quite readily, especially with the improvements in the speed of networks and grid technology and high-performance database technology that's currently available. This capability, which we believe is very, not only very powerful, but likely essential for our products over time, you really have to think through strategically how this is going to fit in your overall technology direction. And this capability, which we think is critical, has an impact on the way we're architecting our systems worldwide.
Don, do you see any big no-nos when you try to go and approach this technology? Would you do things any differently compared to when organizations try to adopt traditional BI?
Well, I think it's less about the systems architecture and more about the information architecture. So having the right models in place, understanding how your information is categorized and therefore will be retrieved by an end user query, I think that's really the key. It's not about just stuffing more unrelated content into a database and hoping somehow that we can index it and pull it all back out. The relevance that the business model has that's part of that information architecture, I think is a key element. And so we see a lot of our customers building on top of their current BI infrastructure, sort of adding this new value to it, bringing in unstructured content, merging that content with their traditional structured content, and doing it in a layered approach, which is much less disruptive to the whole IT organization, and much more about the business value than it is about the technical side of it.
Now,
one of the pitfalls is that everybody gets enamored with a pretty face, you know, it could be the portal or the feed or whatever, and really forget what it takes on the back end to scale this capability. So I agree completely with Don that you absolutely need a focus on the customer, and you need the internal skills of people who really understand the decision-making process and the workflows of customers to design your information architecture. But you really don't underestimate what it takes if you're a global company and it's you're dealing with tens of terabytes of data in regions around the world. Don't forget or underestimate the back end activity that needs to support that. And that's why, you know, I'd recommend, because a lot of the technology is new, this, not only the skills that are required are a little bit different from traditional software manufacturing, but the entire development process is quite different. We had moved to a much more iterative, agile development process that we modified for to deal with everything from remote development teams and distributed data. So we modified that process actually to bring more intelligence into the application development process and bring all the right people together. This is definitely, you know, a game-changing capability that we believe it's a game-changing capability, and has a lot of impact on the way we're organized, the skills and the people that we have on the projects, and also the technology strategy and the infrastructure strategy for our organization. But I don't want to scare people off from this. It's, you can take a discrete function and you can get a lot of value out of it. But if you have a business model that requires this on scale on a global basis, then you have to, I'd recommend that you ease into it.
Now, since we want to always be as aligned to the customers, and that could mean internal and external customers when you do any kind of technology investment. So with that being said, while this is being adopted and it's been sandboxed and people are trying to implement it, is that decision being made at the ivory tower level, or is it being done at the end user with end user input and consent? And if that is the input that we're taking, are they giving us any input which is something to be, you know, shared here? What is the end user saying here today? What do they want? And then let that drive what we do with this new cool technology. Don.
Yeah, a business intelligence system in general, any performance capabilities in the organization, really has to be supported from the top down. Really has to be kind of a mandated thing to get full enterprise-wide value out of it. We've seen lots of implementations done departmentally, but of course, it gets more valuable the bigger it's deployed. So supported from the top down, but we're seeing a very strong shift to the consumer's voice being a part of the systems that get implemented. So adoption tends to be a big key for business intelligence systems. We've had great success in the past few decades in having very highly skilled, trained users get information out of the systems. But now we want to deploy that beyond the 18-22% that actually use it today, and get up to that 75-80 kind of percent of the organization using the system itself. And the only way to do that is to listen to the needs of those clients. And they're asking for the way they want to get information out, the kinds of queries they want to give to the information, where they want to see it inside of a tool as opposed to maybe a separate tool. They want it on their corporate portal. They want it in just that little search box. They're trained at home to use a browser and a search engine inside of it to find out all kinds of information. So they don't want to have special skills in order to try and get that information out. And that's where, you know, that curve is going to change, is if we can build the system simple enough, we can make that information accessible enough to the casual user that a very simple, obvious, common question can be answered in a way that can derive some value from that non-trained user, then the adoption curve will go up. So listening to those users, I think, is very key, but it certainly has to be supported organizationally wide, because the information that needs to be shared is owned throughout the entire organization.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back. And Joe, let's start with you with a quick question. Are there any end user or end customer wish list items that you had to put aside for the time being, because otherwise it would become too big a bite to chew? So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Have questions about wind power? Listen for the TLG Wind Power Hour with Terry from TLG Wind Power Products. He'll cover the ins and outs of wind energy with you, whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or want a ready-made product. Let Terry give you the know-how and understanding of making wind energy work for you. Terry will share decades of hands-on experience so that you don't have to learn about wind power the hard way. The TLG Wind Power Hour, live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Green Talk Network.
Are you looking for a show to help you increase your sales and subsequently your income? Want to know what works and what doesn't? Do you want to have some fun and learn at the same time? Listen for Let's Talk Sales to Increase Your Income with Len and Jack. Yep, it's a long title, but it's designed to educate you, the effective sales professional. Each week, hosts Len DiNincenzo and Jack Cullen will help you stay focused on doing the basics of your trade consistently well. Tune in Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So before the break, we had posed a question, and Joe is to answer about what is a typical wish list item, or what are those wish list items that may have been presented to them by the end users and that have been put aside because otherwise it will become too big of a bite to chew. But before we get into that, we have a caller, Stephanie from Baltimore. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, very good. So you have a question.
I do. I'd like to actually ask both Donna and Joe. It sounds like these solutions have just an enormous potential in healthcare and in the life sciences, and but we don't typically invest in information technology to the same degree that S&P might invest in IT. And so I wonder what Joe and Don would think about how healthcare and the life sciences can most efficiently and effectively get into this space and start to exploit the huge repositories of scientific and healthcare data that we have but aren't really exploiting to the degree we should.
Don, you want to take it?
Yeah, well, certainly it's there isn't a size of organization, determining factor. We deal with
with customers that are from the small right up to the largest enterprises in the world. And I think you're right. There's valuable content. Healthcare is one of our prime customer target markets for sure. Lots of information. And one of the places where we're seeing a lot of healthcare information get deployed is even through governments. So a lot of constituents are then logging into government portals and getting healthcare information. We're seeing a lot of the smarter city kinds of access to healthcare information, trying to understand the trends in healthcare usage, the trends in spreading of viruses and those kinds of things, and access to information that's related to that industry, being done through the local city and government portals. And of course, when you're dealing with those kinds of end users, you're dealing with non-trained users, and that's where a combination of that vast amount of content and a simple search kind of technology comes in. So I wouldn't suggest that this is a technology that is primed and ready for the financial community and nowhere else. We've seen it equally effectively spread through all kinds of different vertical markets.
Joe, would you add anything?
You know, she was breaking up. I couldn't hear the question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Stephanie, do you want to repeat your question?
Sure. Joe, what I was saying is that what you discussed and what you've described that you're doing at S&P is impressive. Healthcare IT organizations don't typically invest to the degree you have described, and yet we have huge repositories, many federated repositories across hospitals, healthcare delivery systems, yep, the life sciences. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are about how we can begin to do more without investing to the degree you're investing.
Oh, you know, I've also worked in the healthcare industry, health insurance, and one of the challenges there are that there are such a heterogeneous environment there for multi-generations of technology. So one is just the technology challenge of opening up that capability and bringing it to a common view. On the healthcare side with HIPAA and all the different security mechanisms there, and privacy mechanisms, that complicates it to some extent as well. But in that area, I think there's tremendous opportunity internally to deal with informatics. On the informatics end, there's an immense amount of data that provides terrific information to crank out care plans. That's been bottled up for years. The best medications for certain complications or diseases. There's literally a gold mine there, and I would say that the cost benefit there would be on finding ways to deliver care plans to reduce medical costs. And so the cost benefit side of this has to, if it tapped into the medical cost benefits, I think there's a really good chance at taking a look at that. Health insurance in the health insurance industry, they were among the first to really get at AI on a massive scale. There are probably still quite a few people who know how to work in some of the core competencies. But in the informatics end, where you take a look at the administrative procedures, the performance of various treatments on diseases, that whole informatics capability to try to find ways to provide the best care at the lowest cost, I think that's where you can combine that, and then access to external medical libraries. So you take that unstructured information through search, you combine it internally with your own performance information would be just huge. In fact, I would have liked to have seen a big push for that, common medical records, et cetera, in the healthcare bill. I thought that was a bit underrepresented. But all that is going to have to change, and this technology, I think, both from a business standpoint, from an insurance standpoint, I think would be beneficial. And then I also think it would be beneficial for the health care of patients.
Now, how do they do more with less? I mean, to Stephanie's point, that they don't want to be investing a whole lot the way the global scale at which you went, but then they want to kind of eat the cake and have it in some fashion.
Yeah.
Right, Stephanie?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would do. I would focus on a certain, a narrow slice from an informatics perspective. Informatics is a discipline in healthcare that actually takes a look at data and outcomes and comes up with care plans. So if you came up with a better care plan for diabetes treatment, it would save millions. And yet that taking that, let's say, more of a narrow view on what I would say a high-risk and costly disease is the way to go. Take one or two of those. Mm-hmm. Don't try to boil the ocean with thousands of DRGs diagnostic codes. You know, take one that's impactful and see what you can do with it. And that's how to start. And then over time, it may actually pay for itself.
Stephanie, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for calling.
Sure.
So coming back to the question that Joe, we had put forth when we were just about to go into the break, is that are there any end-user requests that you would rather put on the side for now? Because they, of course, are great, but at the same time, you can only do so much going in.
No, our analysts provide commentary to the press with video. They also... Both our equity analysts and in our credit products group, they do a phenomenal job with that. And then our operations, our analysts in our operations who are surveilling securities and so on, there's a lot of video that's currently available. And there are some new technologies that help you index video and access video. Just due to priority, I've put that aside at this point. There's some terrific, there are interviews from all the, a lot of the investment houses and so on. It's a big multimedia world now. But currently, we've just due to priorities, we focused on structured and unstructured data.
Now, coming to the different types of content, since we, of course, have got this data, how about multimedia? Are we going to go crazy where we would start searching? And I know the technology actually already exists that you can search within video and audio. Aren't we going to kill ourselves from an infrastructure standpoint if you were to start, accommodating all these different multimedia content as well? Don?
Yeah, I don't think you want to look at diving in and adding that content to start with, unless that's part of your world. If you already have audio or video or imagery or other things that you're wanting to index because that's part of the decision-making process that you follow, then adding some ability to search and index over that to be able to bring it in with the other structured and unstructured content makes a lot of sense. One thing you have to realize, though, is that each different type of media requires a different type of interpretation. And we're very good at understanding and interpreting information from a structured sense. When we start getting unstructured, you've got other kinds of assumptions that you have to make, and tonality and intent. What was this person that wrote this comment on my blog actually really saying? And I can't just necessarily pull the words apart and understand what they meant. I have to put some sort of sentiment in there. Were they really trying to be smart alecky about their comment, or was it really a positive thing they were saying? I can't really tell. When you start getting into video and audio and other sources, that gets even harder to try and interpret. And so that starts to put a little bit more onus on the person doing the analysis. So in the end, the system's bringing you back this information that you have to use in some sort of interpretive way and make a decision on it. It puts more of the responsibility on that end user to understand how to interpret the results that come back, because the system has less and less capabilities of understanding exactly what you meant in your search query. So
Multimedia is a tough thing. I think it's bound to come in. We're doing more and more digital video all the time in this world of ours as it advances, and so it's definitely going to be a part of our future. But you know, it's big infrastructural bottlenecks right now. I think it's not quite there yet.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back. And Joe, let's start with you providing some feedback and or viewpoint around the multimedia adoption, and then, you know, followed by a possible approach for a readiness check for an organization, that any company which wants to go into the super BI mode, what is the readiness check should they do from a cultural, organizational, technological standpoint, so that they are not going to jump into this and fail by design and then say this is no good. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
There are all kinds of questions pertaining to health and wellness. What most people don't realize is that there are a lot of treatments that they can do themselves. Tune in to For Your Health with Dr. Mark Larson to discover these treatments and the answers to many of your questions about health. Topics covered will run the gamut from alternative medicine to the science of modern medicine. So be sure to tune in every week. For Your Health airs live every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjay Gall.
Welcome back. So, Joe, would you start with multimedia content by stretching the envelope right up front?
No, I don't think I would do that. I think you really would have to do a health check on your own internal networks and really understand the volumes that you're dealing with. You'd have to, you know, for us, what we would do is we provide video capability through many of our products. But we're quite careful with that so that we don't, dim the lights on the network. There are improvements in bandwidth and so on, particularly in wireless now with 3G here and 4G coming, that will take some of that away. You know, you can see that it's particularly for the younger set now, video is so common out on the Internet. That's something that we'd have to, you know, really have to focus on.
So coming to the approach that we were taking here, the readiness check, because I'm sure since you've gone through this journey, you have something which has worked for you in terms of diagnostics, and then in case you had to build a business case here and you had to do due diligence and you had to finally make a decision, who all would be the lieutenants or other players in your in an organization who should be involved?
Well, it really, we definitely would first seek out a senior business sponsor for the first major push on this, and then I would include, you know, my top engineering folks, both on the application and information architecture, and I would bring in from our infrastructure group. I don't have responsibility for infrastructure here at S&P. That's through the McGraw-Hill CIO. We're a division in one of the McGraw-Hill companies. But we would have their top engineering in as well, and we would actually run some health checks. We would reach out to other companies, particularly the media, our media segment that deals with video a great deal, as well as external companies that are very much media-focused, make sure that we'd have the proper infrastructure in place to go after that. But we would, it would really have to come from, you know, one of our senior business leaders in concert with us. However, we may not wait for that. Generally, as we look at every wave of investment of technology here, and they tend to come in waves, sometimes we get proactive and prepared to bolt on additional capacity, et cetera, anticipating that at some point we will have to expand our multimedia capabilities. And that's something that we're looking at right now.
Don, with this new Super BI or BI plus search combined, would you think that this is actually an opportunity to make BI more pervasive, more end-user-centric versus offering it to a privileged few who are sitting in the analysis department?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Because of its casual entry point, because it is something that is more known and accepted by those casual users to be able to just sort of put it a simple query in a text box, that is a great way of delivering the power of business intelligence underneath the covers to these end users. And it's really the kind of a system where the more you have, the better it works. The more users you have, the more you can actually learn, the system can learn from those users as well, too. So, for example, if my users are typing in a certain query and then always taking a certain path from that search result, the system can start to learn that. And as it prioritizes those search results, it can start bubbling that one higher to the top because, frankly, that one tends to be used more. You can also start to get into more of the social networking kind of aspect of things. The fact that you read these reports or click on that search result more often is important to me because I trust what you think is important in my business. And so the more users that you have participating in that kind of a system and the more content you have to deliver to it, it gets more and more valuable.
But is it cost prohibitive?
No, certainly it shouldn't be. I mean, I'm coming from the vendor side, so I'd like to
yeah, you want to make more money, but I'm saying for an adopter.
Yeah, no, it really isn't the infrastructure to deliver to some people versus all people isn't much different. I think that the return on that investment is quite worth it. To be able to deliver analytics to end users throughout the company rather than just delivering it to those careful few people that have been specifically trained in a special BI tool, I think it makes a lot of sense. Again, make sure that the security is in place so that they're not getting access to information that they shouldn't have. There's some thought and some design and some work that has to go into it there. But the system is more valuable the wider it's deployed, and I think it's a great opportunity to deploy BI to people that don't know what BI is.
Joe, 1 minute left. What do you think? Where do you see you want to take this BI? You want it to be in every worker's hands? Or you want it to be still controlled?
Oh, I think they're because the you know the financial markets are now requiring more transparency. It has to be available to you know to a much wider, unrestricted audience than it may have been in the past. So there's no doubt about that. However, there are specific customer sets that require very expensive and high performance and have very high performance needs that aren't typical to the larger audience. And so there will always be, I think, a need and market for that. And this combination of technologies fits that quite well.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Joe and Don, because it looks like that this is a tool which could be dream come true, but of course we have to plan, we have to get the right team in place, and then we have to go ahead with some specific vision and bite only as much as we can chew, go easy with it, as Joe, you mentioned, and then go ahead and make sure that we are also securing the fort, as Don, you mentioned, while we go about getting this Star Trek realized in basically in our business. So thank you so much again.
Hey, thank you, St. Joseph. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks. And if you have any thoughts, please send us the email to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog Gall, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Wasting time. Get what you want. Live your dream life. The Dream Big Revolution. Imagine having more freedom, better health, more money, happiness. Could your business be more successful? Unless you're living the life you want, you're wasting precious time. Your life is too valuable to waste. Let Leanne Hilgers help you find health, wealth, and happiness. Listen in and live your dream life. Join the Dream Big Revolution. Tune in every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
Do you feel the need for speed?